I'm excited about this day, today's teaching. It sounds like TGI Fridays. Thank God it's Friday. But TGI is basically Thanksgiving on the inside, or a look inside Thanksgiving. Everybody say a look inside of Thanksgiving. We're just going to look inside Thanksgiving for the next 2 weeks. And I see the handouts are going out. And I know y'all, to my left, to your right, I cannot ignore the 21 and under. So the 21 and older, when I shift, y'all just going to have to go with me. Is that all right? Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for this day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you that you are the creator of the universe. You are the creator of specifically today. It is in you we live, move, and have our being. I love you. I adore you. You have proven yourself this week, specifically on yesterday. You showed Clemson that you are still God. In Jesus' name, amen. Did y'all see that game? Y'all may be seated. I was driving from Greenville, and when I crossed over, I felt the Spirit of God the closer I got to Clemson. The Holy Ghost was in that quarterback. Did y'all see that? He broke two tackles and threw that 50-yard pass. Did anybody see that? Only God can do that. Elder Lawrence, if you can stay there today, there may be some partnership today. Thanksgiving, giving thanks on the inside. And so for the next 2 weeks, we're going to basically cover Thanksgiving. This week is going to be thanks. So the T in thanks is truth. Everybody say truth. The H in thanks is honor. Everybody say honor. Everybody say, it's funny you said that, sis. The A in thanks is awesome. I said, what is she talking about? How's she going to prophesy what I'm going to talk about today? Or foretell what I'm going to talk about today? So it's no accident that you're here, because we're still going to talk about God being awesome. The N in thanks is none. If you want to write down, none like God. Thanks. None like God. K, know him. The S, salvation. A look inside Thanksgiving. We're peeking inside of Thanksgiving. Psalm 100 is what we're going to lift today. It's a very familiar passage. You probably have this memorized. Very familiar. Hundreds of songs have been written. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Y'all know that song, right? So many songs, you probably don't even need to look at the screen to say this, but let's just do it together in concert. On your mark, get set. Ready? Go. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with all of your teeth. With gladness. All right? Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. Everybody say no. It's about time to really know that God is God. We say God is God, but we have to know that the Lord is God. Everybody say no. Everybody say no. Everybody say, do you have evidence? This writer is saying, know that the Lord is God. Don't just say it, but know he is God. All right? The next line, it says, let's read together. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people. God is looking at us. He's looking down at us. He's not looking down at us, but he's looking down at us and saying, y'all, my people. Look at somebody say, we are God's people. God's saying, you my people. He said, my peeps. You saying God speaks Ebonics? No, we speak Ebonics. God speaks God Bonics. We are his people. Everybody say his people. The sheep of his pasture. Everybody say this. We are in God's pasture. Now, that's a metaphor, but man, that's a great place to be, in God's pasture, in God's house, in God's prepared place for us. All right. Number four, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks. Y'all reading with me? Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So the T in thanks stands for truth. Everybody say truth. Truth is God is real. Everybody say God is real. God is real. My mama would like this song. My grandma would like this song. I'm trying to remember how they used to sing it. Friend, you will love the song. Yes, God is real. He's real in my soul. Yes, God is real. Come on. Yes, he has watched and made me whole. All right, we got to stop it because we won't get the room back. All right. But everybody say, God is real. So they were way back then singing in those songs that God is real, because the first verse of that song says, there are some things, y'all help me out, I may not know. So in other words, I don't know Greek, I don't know Hebrew, I don't know Spanish, but I know what? I know God is real. Sometimes I come up short on my bills, but guess what? God is what? God is real. And so they know that God is real. He is real, and nobody can tell them different. But today we do have more information. We have more insight about the truth. Everybody say truth. Everybody say truth. So verse 3 and what we just read is basically, it feels like this writer is contending. It's defending something. It's like he's trying to defend something. He's not trying to defend the, he's not trying to protect the quarterback. He is trying to protect sound doctrine. He is trying to protect truth. Everybody say, we got to protect truth. We got to protect truth. This writer is contending and defending. Some people think we crazy for giving thanks on a daily basis. They're saying, bruh, how are you going to pray and give thanks to a God that you can't even see? Do you know how crazy we look saying, I worship you, God? They're like, who is he talking to? You in school and you have your test coming up. Do you guys have tests coming up? You got tests coming up? You may have tests coming up. You may have an exam. I know we have an exam coming up. Amen. I know we have bills coming up. Amen. And we go and we say, God. And somebody overhears you or see you praying to a God. They say, bruh, who are you talking to? I want y'all to check this out. This is our response. If you want to write it down. Even though we can't see God, this is what I really want you to write down. We know God by his effects. We know God, the creator, by his effects. Who made the iPhone? Have we ever seen the person in real life that made the iPhone? Who created your house? Who built your house? We know the creator by the effects of the creator. It's something that's called cause and what? Cause and effect. The law of causality says everything that has an effect is caused by something. Everything that has an effect is caused by something. The universe is the effect, so it has a what? It has a cause. Everybody say, what's the cause? The universe clearly had a beginning. Amen. If it had a beginning, it had a what? It had a beginner. If it has a beginning, it has a beginner. There are two options that explains us being here or the universe. All right, two options. Everybody say option one. Nothing or no one created something out of nothing. That's option one. Let's think logically here. Option number two, someone or something created the universe out of nothing. By a show of hands, which option do you think makes most sense or has the most evidence? Because if we choose to be a Christian, if we choose to believe in God, it's because we have enough evidence to align ourselves with the Bible. It's all about evidence. Everybody say it's all about evidence. Faith is what? Yes, it's evidence-based. We don't just worship a God that we can't see and we don't have any evidence. Everybody say we have evidence. We know God by his effects. But we got a problem. Everybody say it's a problem. The problem is, who made God? Anybody ever wondered that? Anybody ever asked that other than me? Thank you for being honest. 12 years old, and I'm wondering, who made God? God created us. Who made God? Everybody say, no one made God. That's the wrong question, because God is not a created being. So that question does not apply to him. Amen? Verse 3 in what we just read in Psalm 100, basically, he made us. This should trigger a shout for joy. Just the thought of God making us or creating us should trigger a song. It should trigger thanks. It should trigger yada toda. It should trigger praise. It should trigger gratefulness. It should trigger us wanting everybody that we come in contact to know him. He made us. He made us. Acts 17 says, I want y'all to read this with me. And if you want, it's on the screen. Acts 17. This has always been the struggle, always been the mission, or always been the goal of those that believe. It seems like scriptures is trying to convince us to believe or present evidence and also just encourage us to believe in this powerful, spaceless, timeless, immaterial God. Acts 17 says, verse 28, ready, set, read. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone. In other words, God is not made of materials. Okay? Does that make sense? An image made by human design and skill. In the past, God looked over such ignorance, but now he commands people everywhere to repent. In other words, he's saying, okay, you want to believe that I was made out of this. Everybody get something that's material in your hand right now and just hold it up. Anything. It could be your pen. It could be your hat. It could be your wig. It could be your weave. In other words, it's material. It could be your glasses. So in other words, this did not make God. Amen. I know you're saying that's logical. That's easy to understand. But you will be surprised. All right. Materialists think that they think otherwise as it relates to what you're holding in your hand and where it came from and the origin of whatever you're holding in your hand. Amen. Everybody say it came from God. So God is saying, listen, people need to repent, because what are you believing? What in the world? I can't believe you are ignoring my effects. God is saying, I am everywhere. You're just choosing to ignore me. He said, I speak to you all the time. You're just choosing to put your hands like this and ignore me. Verse 31 says, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everybody by raising Jesus from the dead. God is not like gold or silver. He is spaceless. He is timeless. He is powerful. He is immaterial, and he is intellectual, and he's personal. This is the God that we give thanks to, and he really does exist. Yes, God is. The song goes on to say, he's real in my what? Well, what's a soul? Can you touch a soul? Can you touch soul? You can't touch soul. It's immaterial. It makes sense. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him what? Immaterially. All right? I've said that many, many times before. But guys, evolutionists, y'all stay with me. I know we're still on Thanksgiving. Amen. We're still on Thanksgiving. Psalm 100 is about defending and contending. All right? You know how you watch a movie and you see something in the movie the next time that you didn't see before? That's what's going on here. So y'all stay with me. Don't go to sleep. We ain't in science class. We're not in biology. We in church. Y'all all right? Evolutionists, materialists, non-believers basically are rejecting God as creator because they reject the metaphysical realm. So materialists, what's a materialist? They're basically, they believe all of the foundation of everything is in material, something that's material, something that you can touch. I know words like evolution and natural selection doesn't sit well with us. Raise your hand if you've never heard of the word natural selection. Be honest, is it judgment-free? Yeah, no worries. You've never heard of natural selection. Raise your hand if you know what natural selection is. All right? All right, I didn't see any hands, so everybody else is just kind of just chilling, waiting on turkey. All right? Don't be scared of words like evolution. Evolution, natural selection. Evolution, natural selection. Everybody say it with me so you don't go to sleep. Everybody say evolution, natural selection. Don't be scared of these words. First of all, they were stolen from God. Everybody say they stealing from God. They're stealing from God. We don't subscribe to these terms when they try to take the creation away from God. All right. Which one do you think us as Christians, if you've chosen already to be a Christian, to be a believer in God, which one do you think we should be okay with? Microevolution or macroevolution? You saying, what kind of church teaching situation we got going on here? Microevolution or macro? Which one you think we should be okay with? Because traditionally, as Christians, we run from the word evolution, which simply means what? To change. Amen. It means to change. All right. It means to change. It means to evolve. But listen, these guys, the evolutionists, the materialists, the non-believers have hijacked. They're always trying to steal from God. They try to steal from him. They take his stuff to try to prove that he doesn't exist. Amen. Science is God. Science is not separate from God. Amen. God created science. Amen. Amen. Scientists pervert science. Amen. Science doesn't say anything, but scientists say everything. Amen. Y'all okay? Scientists, when you go to a doctor, you're trusting him to make a judgment call on what you tell him or what you reveal to him. You say, man, I got an issue right here, and here. And you're trusting him to be, first of all, you're trusting him to be moral. Amen? Because if he says one thing, he can have you on some medicine for the rest of your life just to get a check. Does that make sense? So we need moral scientists. We need moral doctors. This is not in my notes. I'm way over here. But is this making sense? We need moral scientists. Amen. Because there's always an agenda for something. Amen. So what am I trying to say here? Which do you think? Okay, I'm back. Microevolution or macro? So microevolution is basically, it's evolution, but it's micro, smaller. Macro is bigger. Macro, big. So macroevolution is when it basically says, Alpheus, who's a human, I can be a giraffe tomorrow. Does that sound logical? But macroevolutionists or people that believe in macroevolution or even evolutionists feel if given enough time, one species can change into another species. Just give it enough time. So that's why that many evolutionists, many materialists, or many believe in an old earth that's billions and billions of years old. Because you need, listen, if I'm a human today and I'm going to be a rhinoceros tomorrow, It's going to take a long time for that to happen. Because that's not how God created me. Does that make sense? But you got to think logically. So natural selection, this is what it is. It's basically when you hear this, and it was made popular by, it was definitely integrated in Darwin's evolution theory. Okay? Natural selection is the process through populations of living organisms adapt and change in order to survive. Y'all ever heard of the survival of the fittest? Survival of the fittest. Okay, survival of the fittest. So you have natural selection, you have evolution. They try to team up, or evolution wants natural selection on its side. All right? But there's a part of natural selection that wants to take credit for creation. But then there's another natural selection that's okay. Everybody say, it's okay, because we change. 10 years ago, I didn't have this right here. So guess what I'm doing? I'm changing. I'm evolving. Amen? But I am still a human. Amen? Well, I ain't going to take my hat off. I got a few gray hairs right here. And bro, if we don't go to the barbershop, guess what's going to happen right here? Some grays going to come. Is that your testimony? Ain't no way to stop it. If you find out a way to make it better, you know, holler at me after church. I know we just met, but man, it's making me depressed sometimes. You hear me? I'm like, I got like 10 of them that shows up. I am evolving. Look at somebody say, I am evolving. How awesome it is for a powerful God to create us to adapt. They stealing from God. God created us to adapt and to change according to our environment. Yes, even though we're going to die one day, survival of the fittest is really God showing us grace in a dying world. That Adam and Eve was the catalyst for. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Sin entered the world, and then the wages of sin is what? It's death. And so some people think that God kicking Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden was punishment. It wasn't punishment, guys. It was grace. Punishment would have been dead. It was grace because he should have killed them. Amen? Kicking them out of the Garden of Eden was grace. Y'all still with me? So we as humans do not subscribe to the natural selection evolution theory that says we can change into another species. Now, why is it important to see and to talk about what I'm talking about? Why is it important? All right. It is important to see natural selection as a mechanism that God used to allow organisms to deal with their changing environment in a sin-cursed world. Why are we talking about this, bro? This is Thanksgiving series. Let me tell you why we're talking about this, because how would these guys make choices? How would the doctor, if you go to a doctor and this is what he believes, how would the politician start to pass laws? If this is what he believes, if he's a materialist, then his decisions is going to reflect his worldview. The CEO, who's influential, is going to make certain decisions. I'll say that again. The CEO is going to make certain decisions based on his worldview. Your doctor is going to make a certain decision based on his worldview. The teacher is going to teach your kids based on their worldview. The judge. You can go to that judge you want to and say, listen, I know this is my first offense, but I went to church last week, and that it may trigger them to give you an unfavorable decision because they don't believe in the immaterial world. Y'all see how knowing this and knowing what you're up against, you see how this is integrated in everyday life. The scientist could say one thing because he wants to, He wants a certain narrative in the earth. Who's responsible for the light bulb? I forgot who it was. Thomas Edison. Einstein, what did he do? What did Albert Einstein do? Help me out. Do you know what Albert Einstein did? Yes, I think you're right, because I don't know if you're right, because I don't know. It was one of those scientists or physicists that basically knew that the evidence was leading towards a spaceless, timeless, immaterial God. But you know what he did? He manipulated the numbers so the credit wouldn't go to something that looks like a theistic or a deity, or that looks like something other than material. So this is, imagine being in a world where people do not believe God is real, and that they believe that we came from nature. Nature can't think. Let's go back to Psalm 100. So that's why we're there. So I think we're off of that right now. Y'all okay? We're giving thanks to a God that created us. But if we have issues about that statement, then we are off, like everything else is going to be off. Does that make sense? If we miss it in Genesis, we'll never make it to Revelation. Psalm 100 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness, with all of your teeth. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his people. We are his people, and God wants his people to honor him. If you want to write this down, we honor a true and living God. It is important to honor. If anybody have an issue with giving God thanks, like you do, if you say, amen, I think you need to turn your life around and give God thanks. I think you need to worship God. Anybody ever told somebody, a little cousin, a nephew, or uncle, said, listen, I think you need to give God a try. Anybody ever said that and you believe that? But guys, issues with somebody accepting Christ or giving God thanks is really an honor issue. They have issues with honor. Dishonor is like putting on insect repellent. It's like putting on insect repellent. Well, who's the insect? Everybody say, who's the insect? Anyone or anything that's being dishonored is the insect. In our case, it's God. So dishonoring God is about trust issues. Everybody say, trust. We tend to honor something that we trust is true. If I don't believe it's true, I'm going to shade it. If I don't respect it, if I don't honor it, I am not going to give it attention. You could be in the same room as me and I don't even look at you. That's what dishonor. If anybody ever experienced this, it's the third degree. But that's like insect repellent. Whatever you're dishonoring, we'll pick up on that and we'll basically say, I am going to respect your wishes. God is so sovereign, God is so respectful that he would not force us into heaven against our will. Why do you think on our deathbed we're going to accept God if our entire life, it could happen, but we wake up in a place where God says, this is what you wanted. God says, this is what you wanted. I'm only giving what you asked for, bruh. This is what you asked for. And it's because you chose to dishonor me. If you're dishonoring me on earth, why will you honor me in the afterlife? Some people think it will change. It's too late. It's too late to honor God in the afterlife. You had chance after chance after the wreck, after the heart attack, after the cancer scare, to honor God, but you chose not to. God said, that's what you want? That's what I'm going to give you. Doubts about God is trust. Trust issues. It equals a reckless life. People living recklessly, it's an honor issue. They're having trust issues with God. Scriptures and commandments come from who? God left these instructions and these commands to us. When we don't adhere to these commands, we say, nah, I think I'm going to do my own thing. I am comfortable living life without God's statue. It is dishonoring God. It is the lack of the H in thanks. So giving thanks is about honoring God. We believe it and we honor God. We actually do something about it. Everybody say actions. Everybody say actions. Everybody say actions. It's not all about the actions. Actions. Check 1, 2. Isaiah 29:13 says, I'm almost finished. Y'all learning something or seeing something a little bit different in God's word? Clap your hands if you are. Isaiah 29:13. Because this could explain a lot. Like, man, I'm trying to see God's hand in my life. I'm trying to see my life change. Perhaps it's an honor issue. Isaiah 29:13, Matthew 15:8 says, the Lord says, these people, first of all, when you hear God saying these people, it's like somebody saying to a certain group of people, you people. You know, that's fighting words, right? You don't want nobody to tell you, you people. God only has the right to say, you people. He's fed up. He said, these people come near me with their mouth. Do y'all see that? He said, these people come near me with their mouth. First of all, the people that are coming near God don't even see it's an honor to be that close with their mouth. How awesome it is for you to be able to approach God with, I was about to say your, with our filthy selves. Amen. It's an honor to even be able to address God. Amen. When he comes in the room, that's why we should stand up. Perhaps the entire service. He said, nah, I'm going to the other church where they sit in between God's glory. And honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human learned behavior. Check 1, 2. In other words, they learn how to worship me through human rules they have been taught. That is messing with a lot of what we see on social media, on YouTube. Is it really worship? You honor me with your lips, but their heart is far from me. I could do something right now. I can whip up some tears with this water. I can say, close your eyes, get this water, put tears on my face. And you say, that young man really worshiping. You can say, that young man is really worshiping God. But my heart is separate from my lips. How do we honor God and give thanks the right way? Everybody say, it's a matching game. My lips and heart must match. My lips, say it with me, my lips and my heart must match. In other words, my actions and my heart must match. The Bible says, whatsoever a man thinks in his heart, so is his actions. So that's why we can go around and judge believers. We can say, bruh, you say you're a Christian. There's a song that I used to sing in Sunday school. If you think you're a Christian, but go in the church, singing on the choir, working on the usher boat, you're just fooling yourself. You must be born. Yeah, y'all know that, man. We train up a child in the way he should go, and when Alfie is his old, he'll be singing, if you think you're a Christian, but go in the church. Your hands, your feet, your eyes, your actions should reflect not just your heart, but a godly heart. Your hands, your feet, get your hands up, get your hands up. Your feet, I'm just doing it so I get the energy, the blood flowing. I get it. It's nice and comfortable in here. Not comfortable, it's comfortable in here. Amen. It's just comfortable in here and comfortability. And the word of God is going forth. It's peaceful in here. You can go to sleep because some of us need a good night's sleep. Raise your hand if you need a good night's sleep. You have not been sleeping well. Amen. And then you go to church and you go, you can sleep all day. You're not shading the teacher, the preacher. You're not shading God. It is where the peace of God seems to always reside. What's going forth? Worship the word of God. Amen. And then that equals sleep. So what perhaps we should do in our homes? This is not on screen. This is not on our notes. What should we do in our homes? We should worship, and what else? We should always crack open the Bible. Listen, read Deuteronomy. You'll be asleep at chapter 3. Y'all don't know how to go to sleep. Just call me. I'll teach you how to go to sleep. If you're having sleeping issues, anxiety issues, depression issues, listen. Be anxious for nothing, but what? With prayer and what? Supplications, thanksgiving is in there. Thanksgiving in your heart. Make your requests known to God. Don't be anxious. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Another song. There's so many songs in Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving and songs go together. I'm almost finished. If what you say and you do are not the same, then they don't match. You're saying, bro, you just said the same thing twice. In other words, they call it being what? Hypocritical or shady. So we just have to make sure that they are on the same page, your lips and your heart. Yes, God, I love you, but I also love this relationship. Are we putting someone or something above God or in front of God? God, I honor you, but I also honor this green leaf right here, not the movie. Not the TV show, this green leaf right here. I honor you, God, but I'm also finding myself honoring this person and talking to this person more than I'm talking to you. Boot up, I worship you, God, but I find myself also spending more time on my property or in this car or giving more attention in this car. You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. God is fed up. He says, nah, because I created you. I'm responsible for you being here. God wants our lips and our heart to match. I am not saying God doesn't want us to cry and worship and yada and toda. But guys, cry and make good choices. Both and yada and toda. Yada, toda, and yes. Say yes to God. And turn from. Yada, and yes. Toda, and turn from. Amen. If you love me, keep my what? Commandments. Keep my commandments. Read God's word and do what? Run with it. Read it and run with it. Read it and do something. Do you read it? Is that my timer telling me to? Where did that come from? Sing to God and serve him. Everybody say sing and serve. Sis, you said I was going to talk about it, and this may be a good place to end. Amen. Y'all feeling good? Because we're almost finished. Everybody say God is awesome. It is hard to figure out what scriptures to lift, to promote God's awesomeness. But honestly, your testimony is going to be enough in the next 5 minutes. Your testimony, your God delivering you, God paying your bills is enough. You breathing. Everybody breathe. Everybody breathe. This scripture says, your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, before the mountains were born. Everybody say God is awesome. Before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from the beginning to the end, you are God. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. You saying the leaves are talking? Yes, the leaves are talking. Grass is talking. Wind is talking. Trees are talking. Dirt is talking. The clouds are talking. It's just that we who choose to reject God are ignoring the obvious. We are suppressing the what? The truth. That's all that's happening. And it's all around us. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. So they are talking a lot. And you can stand if you're not too comfortable. You can stand. No worries. They ain't saying nothing. We have vocal cords. We're breathing. Every time we breathe, we say God's name in Hebrew because it there's no phonetics that will allow us to pronounce his name correctly. And so basically, when we breathe, it's basically let everything that has breath what? Praise the Lord. We can't help but to give God praise when we breathe. But I suggest that it's followed with something audible. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. God is awesome, and there is none like God. Everybody say no one. I remember being with some kids, and I said, I'll give you $1,000. Yeah, I woke up then. I said, I'll give you $1,000 if you can tell me what is greater than God. It was quiet for about 20 seconds. I said, I'll give you $1,000. If I do this right now, anybody want to try? Give it a try. You know what that kid said? He said, confidently, I said, he ain't getting this $1,000. But when he said it, I said, I'm going to have to start making payments. Do you know what this kid said? I said, I'll give you $1,000 if you can tell me what's greater than God. You know what he said? I'll tell you next week. I did a good job telling that. So you got to come back next week. All right? Y'all coming back next week? This kid said nothing. And I just tried to say, hey, man, anybody hear that? He said, nothing. And it thinks no one is greater than God. No one deserves the word awesome but God. I'm trying my best, guys. But no one deserves the description of awesome but God. Man, Clemson played good yesterday. But I can't say that they were what? Who's awesome? God is awesome. God is awesome. One main reason he's awesome is because he sent his son Jesus, which is the S in thanks. If you want to write it down, you already wrote it down. He's T-H-A-N-K. I forgot the K. Amen. K is knowledge or know God. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and knowledge. So on this Christian journey, yes, it's about this whole year. Every time I present to you guys, we already know the basics. We know the basics. We know the basics, but it's about defending what we believe these days. Like, we can really come in here. One, two, we can come in here and look around and say, okay, we're all believers. We don't need to talk about it. One, two, we can look in here and we can say, we can actually pivot and just worship God because we're all believers. You say, we need a word. Yes, we need a word. But I'm encouraged to make sure we know we know more. God is huge. He is big. Again, the scripture says, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. So salvation, we give him thanks because he saved us. Amen. He saved us. Or he's saving us. If you're in this room and you want to be saved, then all you have to do is say, I want to be saved. If you want to be saved, if you say, I need some time to repent, forgiving something, person, place, or thing a little bit more attention than I do God, you're saying that's not fair because that'll probably be all of us. Then all of us should respond, including me. Amen. How sad or how, what's the word I'm looking for? Or shady it is for us to just keep ignoring the person that supply all of our needs. I mean, it's 24 hours in a day, and God is so good to us. I mean, look around. Y'all look good. Your shoes are dope. You may not have. Listen, I am talking about thanking God for pain. I'm even saying thanking God for the pain. Because how are you going to know what the other side feels like if you didn't experience pain? Amen. How do you even know you got a headache? Because you know what it feels like not to have a headache. I mean, like, we alphas included, just got to do better. We can always do better as it relates to giving God thanks. Amen. We can just always do better. We need to teach our kids to give thanks, to always say thank you. Somebody does something nice for you, what do? You just say thank you. To be deep, we just say thank you. A grateful heart. It's with a grateful heart. Have you ever seen some people that are just nasty, nasty spirit? They just seem like they're just nasty. I don't know no other way. Guess what? I diagnosed them with ungratefulness. Complainers. You know them. You see them when they come. I'm like, bro, you ain't grateful. Because what you are describing is bad, but a step past that is either death or worse. You choose. How are we seeing the glass half empty or half full? Find something good when you see CNN. Look at your niece, your nephew, your daughter, your son. They may not be where you want them to be or where God is taking them right now, but look at them and see the glass half full. Amen. Look in this church and see this church. What? Yes, full. Amen. How is your perspective? Thanksgiving is about perspective. It's about your heart. It's about showing God what you are made of. What are you made of? It's a lot going on, but God is good, and his mercy endures forever. I don't have what I want, but God is good, and his mercy endures forever. I got a lot on me. Raise your hand if you got a lot on you. I mean, you could be honest. You got a lot on you. God is good, and his mercy what? Endures forever. Do we live forever? Nah. So his mercy is going to be here our entire lifetime. Sheesh. Because his mercy endures forever. Our entire lifetime will always have his mercy and his grace. And that's why I'm asking you guys to join me in lifting our hands.